Taking a look now at the future of agriculture and rural life in Wisconsin. After a couple of years of study with some extensive citizen input and several regional forums, we have a number of recommendations issued during a two-day statewide conference. And you know what? It ended just yesterday afternoon. We'll be talking about that with Stan Grzynski of Stevens Point, who actually co-chaired conference and this project, I should say, with Tom Lyon. It's the Future of Farming and Rural Life Project of the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters. A two-year project, and as I said, 83 recommendations for taking actions to help assure healthy and sustainable agriculture and rural life in the state. We'll find out about some. We're not going to get to all 83, but we'll find out about a lot of that as we visit with Stan. And certainly I'd welcome your input as well on this. What are your thoughts, or how do you react to these recommendations as we discuss them, and where else do you think we might need to be? And certainly join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Stan, welcome. Nice to have you with us.
It's nice to be here, Larry. Thanks for inviting me.
What's your reaction to the conference? Were you happy with it?
I was very happy with it. I tend to be a little pessimistic by nature, and I'm thinking that all along we really didn't have many opportunities for dates, and to try to have a conference on rural life at this time of year was to take a big risk, because most people directly connected with rural life are in the fields. But we had just a great cross section of people. There were large and small agricultural producers there. There are people who are connected with industries related to farming and rural life. There were representatives of the larger community and state agencies and the universities. So all the way around, it just was a huge success, and I'm not trying to self-promote. I was really pleased with the turnout, the dialogue, and just the general satisfaction on the part of the participants.
And you wound up with 83 recommendations contained in four general categories, which, let's see, it was community life, land use and conservation was another one.
Education. Healthcare. Production agriculture.
Okay, production agriculture and forestry or something
Right.
Let's talk about some of the those recommendations. And again, how were they arrived at? How did you wind up with it? I mean, the input that you had from so many people.
Actually, there were many more than 83 recommendations, but and that just goes to show you what happens when you go to the general public and ask them to have a dialogue or a conversation about the future of something that's of interest to them. The recommendations really grew out of the six forums that we held statewide, geographically scattered around the state. And each of the forums carried a little different theme along the lines of the four subject areas that we had at the conference. And while we would have experts and knowledgeable people speaking to those various issues, whether they were education, healthcare, production agriculture, food processing, or whatever, we allowed a lot of time for the general public to engage that discussion and make suggestions and recommendations. So after the six forums, there were hundreds of recommendations, and the coordinating committee for this effort really deserves a lot of credit, because and the co-chairs for the coordinating committee, because they distilled that information down to the 83 recommendations that ultimately came forward. And, you know, they pretty much reflect the public's attitude to the kinds of things that the state should think about, either from an education, university standpoint, or in terms of public policy, or what the public and private sector need to do in cooperation to develop a long-lasting, sustainable rural life and community.
Yeah. Well, I was just talking with Richard Quinney about his farm and some of his thoughts and worries and comments and so forth about farming in general. And certainly protecting the farmland was something that came up when I was talking with him. Do we have some recommendations about protecting working lands? You've got several counties where there's a lot of development going on, and how do you protect the good agricultural land?
Well, it's going to take a cooperative effort, and even before that, it's going to take, I think, a better understanding on the part of the general public about the importance of preserving farmland and the threat that Wisconsin farmland faces. We, in the Midwest, we are the number one state in terms of losing prime farmland to development. Now, development is not a bad thing, but on the other hand, there is only a limited supply of prime farmland, good farmland, productive land. And if we continue to allow urban sprawl and the lack of planning to encroach on that farmland, it not only destroys the potential for the land that has been used for development, but it makes it much more difficult for those people who want to continue to farm in those areas to farm, because the encroachment of urban life on rural life certainly allows for a certain amount of contention and conflict misunderstanding. And the way to address that, at least that's what people who attended the conference and forum told us, was that we need to do a better job of getting the whole of the population to see that there are places where we should have urban areas and development where it won't encroach on farmland, but by the same token, we need to look into the rural communities and understand that if we're going to preserve their character and their ability to farm, their economic viability, that we have to start looking at the programs and opportunities to do that. A simple one is planning for the future. Another is to identify that which is prime farmland so we can start thinking about how to protect it. A third is to ensure that farmers aren't encouraged to sell their land for development because it's more valuable as development land than farmland by possibly doing the purchase of development rights or in some other way ensuring that they're going to realize that investment down the road, even if it stays in farmland. So there are a number of things that can be done, and a lot of the recommendations focused on how that could be accomplished.
Yeah, and just thinking back to the earlier conversation I had, you know, for a lot of farmers, farm families, that's their retirement kind of is that farm. And so, you know, to sell that farm to have your retirement dollars is pretty.
That's right. That's their investment. And what we're realizing and what was suggested by many people along the way is that we have to expand the options for farmers. In other words, it shouldn't be, should I stay in farming just to protect my land or take my investment and walk away? We should be doing a lot more to promote the more general interest in preservation of farmland and agriculture. For example, the new dean at the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences was talking about the need, Molly Johns, to teach our students to do more with their education. In other words, to understand that in order to be able to work in agriculture and farm, they also have to understand the larger community. They have to develop good business plans. They need to understand the whole relationship between urban and rural. And I really think that the more we can promote understanding of the stress that the mid-sized farms or the family farms face, the more likely it is that we're going to develop the kinds of policies that will allow them to farm if they want to continue or allow them to take their investment without taking that farmland out of production.
Yeah, it's a big issue. John in Spring Valley, we'll give you a chance. Hi, John.
Hello. I was at one of the farm conferences in Menominee about a year ago. And
cool.
And I'm also a farmer myself. I'm a fourth generation dairy farmer. But I am a smaller farmer, and I live about 50 miles from Minneapolis-St. Paul, and we do have issues with urban sprawl and factory farms that have come into this area, but I'm one of the very few farmers that listens to public radio. But, you know, planning is a real big issue, and yet in Pierce County, where I live, they claim they have planning, but there's no planning at all. I mean, it's basically, I listened to the program how you talked about trying to have good land use planning, and that's what I went to college for. But none of that's being done. I mean, they're basically putting buildings haphazardly everywhere, and it's creating, you know, quite a few land use conflicts between farm and non-farm areas, housing and stuff.
Well, I can appreciate what you're saying, John, because I grew up on a farm in northeast Wisconsin, a small dairy farm. We still have that land, although my parents have passed away and we're no longer farming it. But we're working hard to preserve that farmland for the future. And it is very hard to for people like myself to see this encroachment of, I guess, what I would call urban life on what should be rural and farm areas. And I also agree with you that many times what should be good, strong planning initiatives don't seem to be working. But there are areas of the state where it is beginning to take hold, and where people, where the larger public is beginning to understand the value of it, where it's no longer just a matter of a few, you know, I guess you could say, tree hugger types trying to convince the larger public that this is something worthwhile. You know, people living in urban areas are beginning to understand that we need to preserve green space for its aesthetic value as well as its productivity, that we need forests and large segments of forests to ensure that we have a good clean water supply and wetlands.
Absolutely.
And so it really is a matter of the general public, people like yourself, beginning to talk with your friends and your neighbors, and they're not always the same. I understand that. But we need to begin to talk in terms of what is in our collective interest and what is in our common interest. And that's what the whole effort of the forums and the conference really tried to do. That was the behind-the-scenes effort to get people talking with one another, and it was very successful by from my perspective. But we have a lot of work yet to do. There's no question about it.
I hope you continue doing work and have workshops, you know, in even more places of the state, especially where I live in western Wisconsin. Some people think that's a different state or we're part of Minnesota. But I do appreciate what you're doing. I want to keep my farm in working order. I want to make sure that I can pass this down to my children. You know, I'm a younger farmer, mm-hmm. but I want to stay, you know, small. I don't want to get it bigger, but I want to be able to be successful and economically viable. But I'm having so much development come around in my area, and our county's land management department's more like land mismanagement, mm-hmm. and it's creating a problem because I now have houses all around me, and when I go out in the tractor trying to plant corn, people get that have been from the city life get mad that I'm taking up most of the road, but that's part of rural life.
Yes, it is, and it's also part of living in a democracy. I mean, it's not easy to resolve these kinds of conflicts when it's a matter of bringing people together to have them appreciate and understand another person's perspective or point of view. But the alternative to that approach is much more harsh. And so what the Academy was trying to do was to do what its mission calls for, and that is promote discussion and understanding and motivate the public to take a more active interest in developing the sort of sustainable rural communities that can last long into the future, and the means and the plans for doing that.
Yeah. John, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call, and let me come into the show.
Yeah, thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. Stan Grzynski of Stevens Point, Wisconsin, co-chair with Tom Lyon of the Future of Farming and Rural Life Project of the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences. He'll be with us till 12:30 today. We're going to take a look at the news and weather, and then we'll be back with Stan. Stay with us. We're talking about the future of agriculture and rural life in Wisconsin with Stan Grzynski, co-chair with Tom Lyon of the Future of Farming and Rural Life Project of the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters. And that two-year project resulted in 83 recommendations for taking actions to help assure healthy and sustainable agriculture and rural life in the state. There was just a big conference, a two-day statewide conference, wrapped up yesterday with those recommendations, and we're certainly glad to have Stan with us today. And you can join in, too, at 642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, as I was sort of promoting the second part of the program, we wanted to talk about health care and rural labor issues and school financing, but several callers online, so we'll take some calls and maybe those will weave in as we visit with them. And Leonard in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Leonard.
Hi. I grew up on a dairy farm in extreme northern New York State alongside the Canadian border, hard 5 miles from it. That area is reverting to rural slums now and forests because it's so far from any cities. Nobody wants to develop it, and it's not suited to factory farming. He came out here to study at UW many years ago. And it strikes me, and this is a subject deep to my heart, I've thought about it long and hard for many years, that almost any land use in the central and Midwest, especially in this flatter land in Wisconsin, is preferable to farming. It's not really farming. It's mining of the soil in monoculture for corn and beans. And I'd almost rather see a big Walmart on there. At least you could tear it down 100 years now and still use the land. I mean, this is not good for anybody. It's ridiculous, and it's the only way it keeps going with illegal Mexican labor, et cetera, et cetera. It just doesn't strike me as something that even want to happen to escape agriculture the way it's now practiced in Wisconsin. Thank you.
All right. Well, tough words there, Stan.
Well, I can appreciate what Leonard is saying, and by the same token, I also appreciate the effort that the Secretary of Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Rod Nielsestuen, is making in addressing that very issue. You know, not all land is suited to farming, and just because land is suited to farming doesn't mean it should be abused by those who are farming it or using it for production purposes. And what came out of the Secretary's effort to take a good look at working lands in Wisconsin was the knowledge that we need to put in place the sorts of policies that ensure that not only we have production agriculture where it's productive and where it should be, but that we put in place the sorts of policies and regulations that ensure that we're not going to be destroying those very lands or that very seed corn that we're depending on, mm-hmm. so to speak, in the future. And that came through very loud and clear at the conference as well and the forums, that those who live off the land and those who simply appreciate the land for its aesthetic and productive value believe that we need to move kind of further along in terms of understanding sustainability and ensuring that we have good productive land that is also with sound environmental practices for the future.
Yeah. Thank you again for calling. Mike in Oshkosh, it's your turn. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon. I've got a few ideas on ways to stop some of the urban sprawl, and I have a lot of appreciation for the way things are done in Europe. Now, people tell me that if I like Europe so much, maybe I should move there, and I might yet, but right now I'd like to try to fix this country. I think, number one, there should be a $2 raise in the gasoline tax with exemptions given for farming. And I think this would discourage some of this urban sprawl. There's no need for it, and therefore the land could be preserved for growing the crops that we need to support this country. And it would certainly discourage some of the urban sprawl, I think, especially the people with these monster SUVs. I think there could be a lot more done in the way of planning, and I think that's already been brought up, but that was one of my points. Do you have any opinion on how gasoline prices might affect urban sprawl?
Yeah, go ahead, Stan.
Sure. Well, let me say, Mike, I appreciate the call for this reason, because it's only through these sorts of suggestions, ideas, or beliefs that we're going to get the dialogue that is necessary to bring us to some serious recommendations for how we can resolve some of these issues. One of the reasons that this whole process was called the future of farming and rural life, and not just the future of farming, is because we knew if we called it the future of farming, the focus would all be on one form or other of production agriculture in sort of a kind of a tight little discussion or debate, when really, and I think this is what you're getting at, Mike, it's much larger than that. We're not only talking about the future of farming and rural life and rural communities, but we're talking about the sustainability of Wisconsin far into the future. And when you start talking about those things, you can't just talk about production agriculture or even energy. You have to begin to think about what do our communities what should they look like? How do we want them to be? How do we make them sustainable? How are they compatible with their with both the social and natural environment that is a part of them? And so, you know, your recommendation, you know, while someone might say, well, that doesn't work, that'll be impossible, we could never get that sort of policy passed in this state. On the other hand, it causes people to stop and think a little bit, and that's why your input and the public's input is so important, because ultimately, the only policy that we're going to get in this state that works is policy that the general public itself is willing to embrace and make work, and that is why we felt this process was important, and that's why this conference isn't the end of this. In fact, the Academy is inviting the participation and comments of people as they write the final report, and further down the road, the Academy is hoping that this conference, this initiative, will help people like yourself engage the debate at the local level and begin to move us in the direction of the sorts of policies that will allow for a sustainable Wisconsin.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. And Mary in Middleton will give you a chance. Mary, hello.
Yes, I think this forum was an excellent thing to do, and my question follows on what this caller has just brought up. It's my feeling that a lot of these decisions on land use are made at the county supervisor's level, and is the conference follow-up going to have some influence on the supervisors as they make their decisions?
Well, I don't know if it'll have any direct influence on the supervisors, but among the people who attended the conference were people from the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Agriculture, Trade, Consumer Protection, many of the other state agencies, the university, University Extension. And I think that all of those folks were paying attention to the issues that were raised by the average citizens who attended that conference. And the point that Mary just raised, that we heard that on several occasions along the way, and I heard it in one of the breakout sessions at the conference, and that is that the problem really rests with our local officials who don't want to embrace planning or don't want to really take on these issues or don't understand the severity of it, and that may be the case. But the only way we're going to change that is by having a better informed public working with local officials, or a better informed public running for those positions themselves at the local level to help make what would be, at least in their minds, good policies in the common interest. And so it won't be solved by just the university trying to do a better job or DATCAP regulating more. It's really going to we're going to see fruition on this if it's a combination of the state doing its job, local governments responding to the wishes of local citizens, and most importantly, local citizens engaged in this process to make the sort of changes that are necessary.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's very, very important and really key. But are you making sure that your follow-up information gets to these people, each one of these people on these boards?
Well, we're going to do the best we can. I mean, I would like to, you know, say that the folks at the Academy who worked on this project, you know, it's a pretty small staff.
Yeah.
And this is a pretty large responsibility. But what I was trying to say, and I believe it's so, is that those who were in attendance from the state agencies like the Department of Agriculture and the University and Extension, I think they heard that message. And I can't help but believe that if the public continues to ask for that sort of support and input and involvement, that ultimately the public will get it.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you very much for calling. You can join in, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. We've got some open lines to get you on pretty fast. And our next caller is from Evansville. Is it Chamil?
Yes.
Chamil, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, or, yeah, afternoon, I guess. I'm calling because me and my husband, we would love to get into farming. A farm is something we would love to have. But especially in the Evansville area, we compete too much with the developers who are willing to pay $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 an acre, and it pretty much prices anyone out of the market that wants to buy the land and use it as farmland.
Yeah.
Well, it's tough. I understand that, which is why, you know, my comments earlier about the importance of taking a look at the degree and the speed at which we're losing farmland, and that necessitating the kinds of policies, whether they be land use policies or purchase of development rights or otherwise, to ensure that those who want to farm can farm. But by the same token, Chamil, we had people at the conference who were there to testify that in other areas of the state where they're facing that same sort of development pressure, they were sort of insistent that they intended to farm. And one couple, you know, owned 16 acres, and it provides half of their livelihood. Mm-hmm. The husband, I believe, worked off the farm, but the young woman is farming. It's very specialized in niche sort of farming, but it's not subsistence. I mean, they're by her testimony, she was doing pretty well, and she was doing pretty well on 16 acres. And it's not only was it good to hear that she was able to farm, but it also was inspiring to the people who were listening to her, and it has had an effect on her neighbors and her neighborhood. And more people that live around her were realizing that it wasn't just a matter of going to a 1,000-cow unit or a 3,000, you know, dairy unit, but rather really looking at diversity and the kinds of things that you can do where you're located to be involved in production agriculture.
Interesting. Thanks, Chamil. I appreciate it. Fred in Menominee, your turn. Hi, Fred.
Well, hi. I want to add to what Mary said just a wee bit ago. My wife is a county board supervisor. County board supervisors welcome and beg for their constituents to come and talk to them about things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the county board is probably the closest to the public for getting things done. Up here in Menominee, they've just discovered a nice, fine quality sand. Unfortunately, it's right by what we call Hoffman Hills, a very pristine natural area. The citizens got up in arms. They went to the county board. They screamed and hollered, you know, more figuratively than literally. They presented a good case, and the county board listened, and, you know, things didn't go towards the sand company and the sand mine. So that's where it's important. The conference you had is very good, very, very good, don't get me wrong, but we the public in my case, Dunn County, have to talk to our county board supervisors and say, hey, this is what we want. That's why they don't go for zoning or far-reaching planning, because they don't hear enough from their constituents saying, hey, that's what we want. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned, your guest mentioned that a little bit, and I just wanted to reinforce it to the people that are listening, that talk to your county board supervisors, find out who they are, let them know what you think. That's what they want. That's what they hope for. Otherwise, they're working in a vacuum.
Yeah.
So I'll take your response off the air.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for calling. Stan, comment?
Well, I think Fred is right on the money, and it's what I've been saying all along, is that the underlying principle or idea behind the forums and the conference was to inspire public participation in the decision-making that affects land use, rural life, all that's associated with farming and agriculture in Wisconsin. To the degree that people are willing to do what he has just suggested is the degree to which they will get the sort of communities that they want. And I couldn't agree more with what he is saying. You know, I spent 10 years in public life as a member of the legislature, and I realized when I was there that what many people fail to realize is that not only do legislators want to hear from you when you're not doing something right or when you're doing something right, but they also like the public to engage the debate, because if the public is saying what the legislature believes ought to happen, then it lends credibility to the debate, and it makes it easier to pass into law the sorts of policies that, you know, we would consider as legislators to be good public policy.
And many more callers online. And before we go back to the phones, we'll get to Jim and Madison next. But before we go back to the phones, I want to make sure that people know how they can get their hands on or their eyes on these recommendations. And Stan, they are available. I assume they're available online and or in paper.
Yes, actually, there's going to be a final report published on all of the forums and the conference and the recommendations. It'll be something of a synthesis of the information that we gathered and the recommendations. And if they go online at www.wisconsinacademy, that's one word, .org, they can access the Future of Farming Initiative. And incidentally, there will be some opportunity before that final report gets underway for the public to add to the commentary that we already have.
So wisconsinacademy.org.
That's correct.
All right. Jim and Madison, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I'm calling with another perspective on what counties face. In my observation and in some involvement in some central Wisconsin counties, my sense is that the financial stress on the counties on a day-to-day and year-to-year basis trying to maintain the infrastructure and take care of their citizens is so great that it's very difficult, given the current property tax and income tax situation, for them to do the best things with respect to these long-term plans. There's constant pressure on allowing industry or unfriendly rural activities into the counties because there's a need for jobs and a need for development. And unless the philosophy in the legislature or in the governor's office can change so as to make, or the state itself can develop a more rapid rate of growth so we can overcome these things, I think this might just end up being a lot of wonderful plans. I'll hang up and listen off the air.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Well, it might very well just end up being a lot of wonderful plans. I would hope not. The University of Wisconsin Stevens Point College of Natural Resources GEM Center has been a big sponsor of this because they're very interested in the whole issue of sustainable communities and working with sustainable communities. But I really think that the solution to this is, once again, going back to the public, is the public's willingness to take a look at the needs that exist out there and to begin to approach, you know, economic development and farmland preservation and urban sprawl and housing development as not singular issues, you know, not connected to one another, but rather a part of the way that state and local government ought to begin to partner and look at these things so that we can find some resolution for them and the resources to address them. Again, I go back to what Rod Nielsestuen said, the Secretary of Ag in Wisconsin. You know, there's tremendous potential for diversified agriculture. And frankly, you know, it's his sense and mine that agriculture is fairly strong, but we can't lose sight of the fact that all of this takes kind of a good planning and, you know, cooperation and an understanding of the economic, social, and environmental issues. And if the public is not engaged with that, it's going to be much more difficult to try to realize and accomplish the sort of Wisconsin that we would all hope for.
Yeah. Lori in Franklin, we'll turn to you. Hi, Lori.
Hi. I live in Franklin, and we're almost a landlocked community, but not yet. We still have some farms here. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see us adopt one or two farms and turn them into an educational project for the whole community, where our kids could learn where food comes from, where we could involve ourselves in CSAs. And I'd love to see that. I don't know how exactly to bring it about. I feel like a lonely voice there.
Hmm. Well, I understand being a lonely voice, Laura, but here's some encouragement for you. A number of the people who attended the conference, and I'm thinking now particularly of some people and some of the groups in southwestern Wisconsin and northwestern Wisconsin, who faced the changes that have happened over the years in the economy and the changes with agriculture, and some of them have in fact begun to put together just the sorts of things that you're talking about. Community groups who focus on the assets of the community. What do we have that we don't want to lose? How can we not only view that as a production unit, but also as an asset to the community? And, you know, how can we support it? Because we appreciate the aesthetics of it. We appreciate the fact that it draws tourists to come and look at the whole, you know, milk production operation, and in some cases there's value added, so you have a grazing herd that's also producing specialty cheese, and it creates a lot of interest in the community and creates some economic viability that isn't directly connected to the use of the land, but adds to the overall value and sustainability of the community. And those sorts of tools are the kinds of those sorts of tools were what came out of the conference as we got people talking to one another.
And public comment is invited through June 30th, when a final version of the recommendation will be approved for publication. And Stan, as Stan mentioned, you can go to online to wisconsinacademy.org and find out some more on that final version. I'm sure is going to be up on there too, and there'll, I'm sure, be print versions as well. Stan, thanks so much. Appreciate it very much.
Larry, thanks for doing the program. We appreciate the interest in it.
Stan Grzynski of Stevens Point co-chaired the Future of Farming and Rural Life Project. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.